Let's turn, please, to 2 Peter chapter 2. We are going to read verse 20, 21, and 22. Let's start in verse 20.
For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire.
In chapter 2 of 2 Peter, we have been studying about false teachers and their identity. Today we're going to be on part 3 of a portrait of a false prophet. Last week we saw their pride. We also saw their practices. And we also saw their promises. The greatest one, false promise being, you will be free. Today we're going to look into their pseudo-conversion. And we're going to start with verse 20. Our first point will be, what do these false teachers profess? There are two things in the text that they profess. First of all, we see that they profess to know Christ, verse 20. They are religious people. They profess to know facts about the Lord Jesus. The great majority of false teachers come from within the church of God. I just remember right now two of those guys. Victor Paul Wolverine from The Way International. He was a pastor. And then he became a leader of this false cult. 20 years ago, very famous among college students. I can't think about Sun Myung Moon, the founder of the Unification Church. For years, they've had their huge temple down in Providence near Brown University. He was also a pastor in South Korea, and he became a false teacher. According to Peter, many start attending church services because they look around and see chaos in the world out there. And they start thinking, if there is another flood due to the wrath of God, at least I'll be in church. A lot of these false teachers also enter the church in another way, by association. Some through marriage, of marrying a believer. And then they expose to the truth of the gospel, and they learn all the Christian jingle and all the Christian words. Some joined the church because they were born and raised in a Christian family. They grew up knowing everything about Christ and Christianity, but they never have their own experience of repentance and faith in the Lord. Remember years ago talking to this lady who's been in a Christian church for many years, and I asked her, how did you come to know the Lord as your Savior? And she answered, as far as I can remember, I've always been in church. You can be born in church and not be born from above and in the kingdom of God. God does not have grandchildren. And the Bible says that He only has children. So these individuals claim that they have a knowledge of the truth. But their knowledge is only informational. It's only intellectual. Why is not transformation? My question for you today is, do you know Christ only here, or is He the Lord of your heart? Every false teacher has all the right information, but they also have the wrong lifestyle. Because truth in the head and not in the heart, there is no transformation. They know all about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. You and me can go to the library and research on President Obama. And you can say, I know everything about him. But I truly don't know him. We never talk face to face anywhere. So my question for you today is your Christianity informational only? Or is that being transformational? Is this a personal knowledge of Jesus? Or is it only information up in your head? Second thing they profess, as we read here, is that they profess to have a reformed lifestyle since they joined the church. Using Peter's illustration, they are like the pig that was washed in the outside with all this religion stuff. They smell a little better. Maybe the pig got also a bottle of perfume on top of it. Smells better. Looks better. Still a pig. The heart has not been changed. The nature is the same. Today, like these false prophets, many people talk about their reformed lifestyle. They talk about being in recovery. But the Bible does not talk about either reformation or recovery. The Bible talks about regeneration, repentance. When the religious crowd talked to Jesus about recovery and reform, he said to them, what you're talking about is about placing a patch in an old garment. But Jesus says, I came to give you a brand new garment, not a patched one. This false teachers, they want more of what they call spirituality. They want spirituality, but they don't want holiness. Spirituality is about learning the Christian jingle. The so-called spirituality is about partaking on certain rituals. That spirituality of what they talk about, it's only external stuff. It's like washing the pig. The heart of the pig is still the same. Salvation, on the other hand, it's not about reformation or recovery. It's about a new nature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have become old. Behold, everything is made new. This is salvation. It's a change of heart. It's not a change in the outside. It's from inside out. It is to be washed inside first. And then in the outside, the change shows up. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 18 through 23. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility, worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And then let me jump to verse 23. And he says, all these things, the commandments and doctrines of men that he's talking about, have indeed a shoe of wisdom in will worship and humility, a neglecting of the body, but in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Paul is talking about all these mystics and ascetics. And he's saying that all these traditions and rituals serve nothing to fight Satan and sin in your life. And why not? These are just external things. There's never been a change of heart. So Paul says about all this spirituality and recovery that it is useless to fight sin. And by the way, they only satisfy the old man. Because the old man is always proud about his accomplishment. But the Lord Jesus said, that will enter the kingdom of God. Turn with me to Titus chapter 1, verse 16. They profess that they know God. These false teachers that Peter's talking about. They know God in their intellect. They know about God. They never repent from their sins. There's no change in their lives. So Paul says they profess to know God. But their works, their lifestyle denies everything. They are abominable, disobedient unto every good work. Reprobate. They profess they know God. But their lifestyle, as we have studied, deny that reality. Many people today say they have an experience. But that experience cannot be from God. Because as Paul said to Titus, they are disobedient to the word. They follow everything of the flesh. They profess to know God. But Paul says they don't know Him. Some of these false teachers were even baptized. But again, you can baptize the pig, but the water is not going to change his nature. You can baptize the pig 10 times, and still is going to be a pig. There's no change of heart. This is what they profess. But secondly, Peter now says what they really are. First of all, Peter says, they are overcome and defeated by sin. They are not overcomers. When you read the 7 letters to the churches in Revelation, in those 7 letters, the believers are called overcomers. It says here that they are defeated and overcome by their corruption. Verse 20. They keep being enchained to their sins. They have never been set free by Jesus. My dear, I want to ask you a question. Are you also today defeated, overcome by sin? It doesn't matter what kind of sin. Are you living a defeated life? I want to tell you there is hope for you. The one who conquered Satan and sin on the cross can set you free. He said, if indeed the Son of Man sets you free, you then will be free. Don't lose hope. Don't listen to the evil one. He may be whispering in your ear today, you can't be free. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Satan will tell you this over and over again. He may be whispering in your ear today and say, once a drug addict, always a drug addict. It's a lie. If the Son sets you free, you will be free. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, and if you are in Christ, then you are free. Sin will have no power over you. But these false teachers, whose Christianity is all intellectual knowledge of the truth, they are in bondage to sin. That's why Peter said, they promise freedom, but they themselves are enslaved. Secondly, they are in worst shape than before they heard the truth. Having heard the truth, knowing now all about the Savior and salvation, they never repented. They never came to Christ. So Peter says, anyone who knows the truth and does not follow the truth will be in worse shape than when he did not know anything. In Matthew chapter 11, the Lord Jesus talked about three towns where he made the majority of his miracles. And those cities were Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. And Jesus tells the people of those cities, in the day of judgment, there will be less punishment for Sodom and Gomorrah than for you. How come? Oh, Jesus said, you heard me preaching. You saw my miracle. You never repented. Yeah. You are in worse shape than Sodom and Gomorrah. What? Thirdly, Peter says, you are wild dogs and pigs. Peter is going to use these two illustrations to show that their hearts have never been changed. What they call a Christian experience was not salvation. Was only an external wash. Peter says they like the dogs in the city of Jerusalem. They could be found in a city dumpster where they were scavengers. And they could be seen many times eating these refuse and old food left there, and obviously having indigestions. And now, sorry about the picture, vomiting out. And then going back to eat, sorry, what they just bought. What was hurting them and causing digestion, they could not stay away. They went back to it. And it's a picture of the sinner conquered by sin. He knows this stuff is no good, that this stuff is going to literally kill you. Or this stuff is going to put me back in jail again. But I have no power to stop it. I'll go back to that again and again. That's the bondage of sin. Peter also says they like the pig that was washed. Even after the bath, still is a pig, not a sheep. But a Christian is someone that was a pig, but now is a sheep. Amen? I love Dr. J. Vernon McGee. He is with the Lord now. When he preached on the prodigal son, he also preached on the prodigal pig. And his story went like this. When the prodigal son repented and returned to the father's house, he brought a tiny piglet with him. Please, don't try to find that in a bar. But the piglet went with the son to the father's house. And as the son got a shower and new clothes, the piglet got a shower and a nice bowl. And was taught to sit at a table and eat and learn manners at the table. Even bow his head while the father said grace. After a few days living like that, the piglet said, I can't stand it. I'm going back to my father's house. And so he runs back to his father's house. And as he approaches the father's house, he sees father in a pool of mud and brothers and sisters all dirty in the mud. And he runs into the father's arms and jumps in the mud. And then he says, it feels so good. You see, the pig was still a pig. You can wash it. You can teach manners. You can teach even to bow the head while we pray. The heart has never been changed. Given the opportunity, the pig will show his true nature and jump back into sin. The pig could claim that he or she had an experience that was even washed. It looked much better and improved now. Yes. Actually, the pig could say, my experience brought me to the midst of the sheep. But bottom line, still a pig. The nature has not changed. My friend, today I invite you to come to Jesus. He is the one who can wash you in the inside. And that change is to come from inside out. Or otherwise, it's a false experience. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 10. And verse 11. And as we read it, maybe you need still to be washed from your sins. A little reformation, a little recovery won't do it. You need a new heart. You need a new nature. And only Jesus can do that for you. If anyone is in Christ, it's a new creation. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. Nor thieves, nor captives, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Oh my goodness. Is there hope for anybody here? Is there hope for you today? Paul says, verse 11, and such were some of you in the mud of the pig pen. But Paul says, but you now are what? Washed. You are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. It doesn't matter who you are in your sin. You're lost. You can be lost in a million ways, but you can only be saved in one way, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, you were drunkards, sodomites, thieves, crooks, but now you've been washed, Lord Jesus Christ. Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Maybe not. Maybe you still struggle with your sin. I want you to come to Jesus, and you come by faith. He'll wash you, save you. He'll make you a son. Not a pig living around the sheep. He'll turn you into a sheep. Let us stand and pray.